Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And as we've been looking at this passage, we've been looking at these issues of the beseeching, the exhorting, that the Apostle Paul, you know, what he means by these terms. And now we're going to shift from this beseech and exhort to actually start to deal with what it is that the Apostle Paul is actually going to be saying to them in this manner. And we see how Paul starts this issue with the thing where he says, "that as." So it's going to be a manner of his teaching and some of the things of how we look at what Paul has said throughout his epistles to really be demonstrating to every individual that he's been writing to about why he is the authority, and the information that he is giving is the authority that individuals actually need to be following. We see, for example, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we'll see how, you know, something that Paul writes to this assembly at Corinth about, you know, what he's saying to them. And we're going to read here in chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So we see how Paul is saying to these saints this issue of that they are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And we know that how Paul followed Christ is recorded for us in Romans through Philemon. So we have this doctrinal information to be able to say, this is what we are supposed to do. We go into 1 Timothy chapter number 1. So now we've seen him write to an assembly on this. Now we're going to see him write to an individual, to Timothy, with it. And we're in chapter 1, we're going to focus here in verse number 16, which says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So now we see this issue of a pattern. So we've seen how there's the issue of that he's giving to follow him as he followed Christ. We see a pattern being given. So these things are being laid out so we know how it is that we should be actually attempting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ according to the doctrine that has been laid out for us in these epistles. So we can really be able to say that we know exactly what it is that we should be doing. And Paul makes it very clear. And so when he's shifting here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we see that he's shifting from the doctrinal information into some of the practical things that he's going to be giving them on how to live their life. And that's really something that we see in each one of Paul's epistles, to where he will give the thing of, here's what it is that you need to understand, the things that are going to influence you, but then here's exactly how this is going to play out in your life if you're truly applying the doctrine to yourself. We see how Paul will really talk about those practical things and about how we really should be doing those, you know, things of what he identifies as being good works. Something that we don't always see individuals who understand right division talking about as much, because there always seems to be a focus on what is it we'll keep giving, the doctrine, and don't focus on the thing of, okay, there are some practical things that we need to understand. So we see, for example, we go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, to where we're going to see how Paul says something. We're going to read some verses that are probably very familiar to us, because we will talk about the first two verses of this, you know, related to salvation here in Ephesians 2. We're going to read verses 8 and 9 first, where it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we will quote these verses all the time, talking about how the salvation that we've been given today is all related to it being a gift from God. It's putting our trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how someone puts their trust in that, and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. That's what Paul is talking about here in verses 8 and 9, about that this is how salvation actually happens. But then we are going to see now where Paul is going to shift this in verse number 10 to talk about some of the practical pieces of this, when he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And there's an issue of that thing of the should that's given here, of where it's not a requirement for individuals. It's not a something that has to be a guarantee that somebody has to do in order to either have salvation or maintain their salvation. God wants us to do the good works. If we do them, we will be rewarded for them. If we don't do them, you know, God is not going to take away our salvation. You know, and that's something that we, if you go back into Israel's program, you'll see how that was really an issue for them, that if they were not doing those good works, that there would actually be an issue of them potentially losing their salvation. And there really was a fear of what would happen to them. You know, we are not motivated by fear. We are motivated by the love that was demonstrated towards us. And as a result of that love that was demonstrated towards us, we are to be showing this love towards other individuals. That's what the Apostle Paul is showing us here in his epistles. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1. And we're going to see how Paul here is, as he's speaking to these saints in Colossae, he's going to talk about the prayer that he has for them. This is how he's beginning this epistle, as he's writing to them, talking about this prayer that he has for these saints. And we're going to pick up here in verse number 9 of Colossians chapter number 1. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, when you read these verses, we see how the prayer that he has, the starting point of that prayer is for the fact that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The starting point is that they would grow in the knowledge of what the word of God says for them. So he's praying that they would be, as they are studying God's word, that they would be getting that insight into what the doctrine is, so that way it could be taking root in them, and that the result of this understanding of God's word would result in what verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That the prayer was that the result of them taking this word in, growing in this knowledge, having this increase in what the doctrine says, that the result would be that they would be doing the good works that are laid out. That they would be, you know, what we just saw over in Ephesians chapter number 2, of the fact that God had created the body of Christ to be doing these good works, that we see that Paul is saying that the result of doing those works is going to come from the increased understanding that individuals are to have, and this is what he's praying for related to the saints and wanting individuals to be able to have this growth in that knowledge, that way it could have a result. And that's what we're seeing as he's speaking to these saints in Thessalonica as well, that there would be this result that would occur. Now, as we get into this, there's a couple things that we need to kind of keep in mind related to the things of the salvation that we have and the things that result from it. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1. And one of the things that we need to keep in mind with it is the fact of that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we see this here in verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter number 1. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. The Spirit functions as the seal to keep us in our salvation. And the Spirit functions as that seal, so that way there is that guarantee of our salvation. There's nothing that could actually break that seal. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can decide that we're not going to do that would result in break. You know, because nothing can break part of the Godhead. You know, if that seal was not there, we would not be able to have all those statements that are made about how we have that guarantee. You know, and this is such a glorious thing. And thing that, you know, some people don't understand because they're not being taught the issue of the fact that the spirit is the seal keeping us in the body. They're still being taught things of where they could potentially lose their salvation. Those things create a very negative impact on an individual because there's always that fear of that I could potentially do something wrong that would result in me losing my salvation. And that is never a good thing. That's not what God wants us to understand. God wants us to understand that security that we have, that, you know, liberty that we, I mean, and it is such a liberating thing to know that we have that guarantee of our salvation, that we don't have to be worried about are we good enough, because it's not us that is the issue, it's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I made a reference to this issue a couple minutes ago, but I want to read the verses now that actually talk about the judgment seat of Christ, where the things of what we do after our salvation are actually judged here. And we read from verse 10 through verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And it says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So we see Paul starting with the issue of the foundation of everything that's being built, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know how Paul talks about that he preached the Lord Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that he preached Jesus Christ differently than what we see Peter, James, John, the other apostles, the things that were being preached for Israel's program, that there's a difference in how Paul was teaching things. This is the foundation that things are going to be built upon. And we see how what's being built on this is, he describes it, gold, silver, precious stones, and he describes wood, hay, and stubble. So there's going to be two different categories of things that are going to be built. And we see how these categories are going to be reflective of what verse 13 says, when it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." The individual is not the one that is being judged. And it's not the individual being judged, because one, this has nothing to do with salvation. We've already established the fact that we have the guarantee of our salvation. It's what an individual has done after their salvation that's being judged to determine the reward that an individual would receive. And that reward would be a position in the heavenly places that someone would receive, and how, when, you know, based on what it is that we do, when God wants us to do these good works, that's reflective of our understanding of the doctrine that we have, the doctrine living in us and through us. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of us when we do the things that would be reflective of the gold, silver, and precious stones. When we don't allow the word to work through us, that's the wood, hay, and stubble. Those are the things that are going to burn away. The gold, silver, and precious stones are going to be the things that are that will remain. That will be the basis of their reward that we would have when we're going to be in the heavenly places. You know, and that's why you see Paul talk about some of these practical things. And you see how in this epistle that he'll talk about, let's go over to chapter number 10, to where he will make this statement when he says in verse number 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So Paul's making that statement here of where, you know what, I can do all things. I can make those decisions of doing things that, you know, might be considered, you know, the good things to do. I can make the decision to do the bad things in my life. You know, all that is up to me on what it is that I'm making that decision of I'm going to do. The end result of it is going to be that if I make the right decisions, then I will have the gold, silver, precious stones being built. If I don't make the right decisions, I'm going to build the wood, hay, and stubble. The other piece of it being that the decisions that I'm making related to these things being done, that there's an impact that some of these things can have on other individuals. That's why it's an issue of when it says all things edify not, because it's not just the things of the impact that it is going to have on me, it's the impact that these things could potentially have on other members of the body of Christ, having an impact on what it is that they're going to do as they're seeing these things being done and seeing, okay, that this is where I need to be looking at and saying, okay, what, you know, what am I doing? Where am I actually going with these things and having, you know, potentially a good impact on things if I'm doing what God intends. If I'm not doing what God intends, then I could potentially have a thing of where now I'm having this bad impact on somebody else, affecting the faith that they have, and the end result being, you know, leading to them doing things of where they might not be doing what would be pleasing unto God, and it causing some struggles for them as they're living their life. And that's why you see Paul stressing these things about the practical piece of the life that we are to live, and stressing the things that unfortunately we don't always stress because we don't focus on the things of the practical in manners that we actually should, and it actually having that, you know, thing of where we need to be focusing on the things that we need to do in order to be the ones representing God here on earth as that ambassador for Christ. And we're going to pick up with some of these things in our episode next week. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts in order to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.